You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll have much more on the Giants and a Football Friday. Week 5 in the NFL a little bit later on. I didn't even watch really the game last night, although it was a good game. Saw it coming on the score app there, back and forth in overtime with the Niners and Rams, and I was happy because people got knocked out of the knockout pool with the Rams, and I did not have them, in fact. But anyway, good game. It was all about the Yankees last night, the Yankee post game, and the Yankee celebration. And now, BT, it's going to be about the Yankees in the division series. But, you know, so much was made of Aaron Boone, and understandably so, certainly after game one. I mean, I came on saying it was an awfully managed game from the Yankees organization, not just Aaron Boone, all the way down in that game one. But then you saw, it's not that Boone changed who he is. You saw what happens in game two and game three. And I think too many people go based off of the results. I don't do that, so I can't speak for everybody else. But because the results were fine, now everybody's like, oh, Boone is okay, whatever. He outmanaged Cora in the series. He also had a better team than Cora in the series. But let's not make it like Aaron Boone doesn't know how to manage or can't get through a series. He did it yet again, even with the backs against the wall being down 0-1 in the best of three.
He is the manager of the New York Yankees, and he has been here for a while, and he has zero championships. Yep. That's the reality of it. And until he gets one, the spotlight is going to be intense, and he knows that. He doesn't shy away from that. That's just the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be. But I do think that the criticisms of Boone are unfair, but I'm certainly not here to preach. I understand there's an interesting dynamic with the Yankees. I do think that the Yankees get a Martino tapped into this a little bit.
Yes, I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. Like, it's everybody zeroes in on the Yankees and their reliance on the analytics and this and that. Like, there's no independent thinkers in the building, which is absolutely unfair and ludicrous and just really disrespectful, as you said, used that word yesterday, to describe Aaron Boone, a three-generation baseball lifer who, oh, yeah, by the way, was actually a decent player. Now, that doesn't mean that you are exonerated when you don't win. I can't prove this, right? I really can't. But it's my belief that if Aaron Boone had Jeter and Bernie and Mo and Pettit and Tino and all those other guys, Posada, I don't know if he would have won all the championships that Torrey won. I'm not saying that. But he wouldn't be championship-less. I have always been of the mindset that the roster has been inferior to other Yankee managers, even Billy Martin, some of the other ones that won big. Now, people don't want to hear that. That's fine. That's why I'm not getting preachy. But I've always defended Boone. I think he's a good manager, and I think his temperament for New York is perfect.
And now he has said himself this is the best team that he has had since he's been Yankees manager. Now you got to go finish the job.
Yes.
Like, there are no...
I agree.
You won a wild card round. Congrats. You were supposed to. Like, it is what it is. Yeah, it's great to be there. Yeah, it's fun along the way. Every step, check the box. Okay, well, now the next step. Now they got to win this series.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose this series. What do you think is going to happen if they lose this series? Oh, they can't lose to the Blue Jays in the division round? Like, not good enough. ALCS, same thing. After last year getting in the World Series, There's only one more thing to do, and that's win the whole damn thing. So he knows that. They know this, and he has the team to do it. So now they got to go out there and do it.
And after game one, he guaranteed a win. I mean,
basically, he did. He, you know, actually saying, I guarantee we're going to win.
Yeah, and he's very rarely brazen like that. He's confident in his crew, and he's measured, and I think that's one of his better characteristics because, you know, some of the things around, even the Jazz stuff the other night, he found a great way to defuse that. And, you know, place it in the proper file, didn't overreact, didn't ignore it, but, you know, he gave a very good answer. And I think that that balance and that approach is very good for this team. But you're right, he's going to eventually have to win. If they would have lost last night, you think he's fired?
Okay, what do I think they would have done? I think there's a good chance he would have gotten fired if they lost this series, yes. I would not have done that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought it was the right move. I think if they lost this series, there was a chance he was getting fired. A good chance he was getting fired. Now, I don't know that. And based on people that I talk to that know, say they would have been surprised.
But yeah, I would have been surprised if they fired him.
But if you take that, like, logic and the way the Yankees have acted, if you take common sense out of it sometimes, just think of the emotion and the buildup of the fan base losing to the Red Sox again, a team that clearly the Yankees were better than. Like, that would have been, I don't know how you get by the fan base this time keeping Aaron Boone if they would have lost that series.
Even too loud for Hal to ignore is what you're saying.
Correct.
I mean, he's been pretty loud for a while. Yeah. He's been pretty good, kind of looking the other way. I mean, if it was Boston again, that's a different level of hurt. You know, even though the Yankees didn't win the division, I think if they started the season with this team, meaning they had McMahon and Caballero and some of the other people, Rosario, maybe Schlittler, if he was up from the beginning, they probably do win the division. So even though they didn't win it, I think most of us thought that they think that they are better than Toronto, so, and certainly Boston. So if you would have lost, the noise would have been loud. I don't know if Hal would have, I wouldn't have fired him.
Right.
But Hal's been very tolerant, but you never know. And that's not an option right now because they won.
Yeah, and I don't think now, moving forward, no matter what happens, I would assume he's going to be safe, even if they get swept. Let's say, worst case, get swept by the Blue Jays.
No, they better not get swept.
I'm just saying, understood, and I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to win this year. As a matter of fact, if any team can sweep, I think it's the Yankees who could do the sweeping. But even if they did, worst case, I still think Boone's fine. I think he had to win that series, and he did. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's see. Chris is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Great. Three quick points about last night's game, if you'll allow. One, BT, I think you're right on the money. That was game seven pressure. I mean, it's one team goes home, one team moves on. So it's the same as the game seven. And Cam did an amazing job. It was one for the ages. And if you want to think about how much pressure that is, just think a couple of years ago when the Yankees played the Red Sox in an elimination game.
Garrett Cole.
Cole, as great as he is, went out and laid an egg.
Yep.
So
got lit
it
up.
Was amazing. Yep.
Yeah,
number two, as far as...
Okay,
go ahead, Sal.
No, I was just going to say, it's not the same as Game 7. Yes, it is in that it's a winner-go-home game, but there is a different feel. Forget about it. It does not take away from his performance. I'm just talking about a third game in a best-of-three does not have the same feel as a Game 5 even, let alone a Game 7. There's a back-and-forth that takes place over the long course of a grueling seven-game series, assuming you get there, however it gets there, that feels different to me than a quick, here we go, best of three series.
I mean, from a Yankee fan perspective, I was sweating it like it was a game seven. So I felt like it was.
I got you. What else do you have?
I mean, as far as Boone, he used his gut finally. And that's just not the way we've seen it. And it was a great change because normally he goes to the plan. He talks about, well, we had a plan. We felt like we were set up when he made the mistake. And I felt like pulled Fried early. Last night, I know it wasn't his plan to give a guy eight full and let him go over 100 pitches. But he used his eyes, he used his gut, and I thought that was absolutely tremendous.
Chris, hold on one second. So do I, and so does every Yankee fan. They loved it. But you used the word finally, and I even think that that's unfair to Boone because of the implication. Think about this, Chris.
It's not only unfair, it's flat out inaccurate. It's just not factually correct.
Well, I don't know if that's the case because Max Fried was dominating. Not just good, he was throwing a shutout. And when he pulled them,
Chris, he wasn't dominating.
Later on, I felt like he was. He was going against a really good Red Sox team, and no one could score a run. And then he talked about how we had a plan. We felt like we were set up. So that's the opposite of using your gut.
No, understood. He made that decision based on a lot of different factors. Like it wasn't This is how you make it sound, Chris. Well, the plan says we got to take him out. Right now, it says we got to take him out. Let's take him out. That's what you make it sound like. in reality, he's saying, I'm watching Fried. He's been on the ropes for a couple of innings.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look dominant. He is where he is with the pitch count. I believe this is Boone. I believe that the better option is getting Weaver in now facing this part of the order. A good spot for Weaver, so I like that, versus going with a tiring Max Fried. Now, I disagree with that, but that decision was made from Aaron Boone based on his gut feel and the information that he has. And it is reported that that is the case. So for those people, and there's still going to be people that say the same thing.
They're never going to believe it.
It's like that with anything in life. Like, that's just what social media. Like, I could tell you flat out that somebody doesn't like somebody else in a clubhouse, hypothetically. I could tell you flat out that Aaron Boone made a certain decision. And you could say, nah, he didn't. But I'm telling you that's, like, it's coming from the people who know.
Yeah.
It's not me guessing. And you'd still be like, eh, I'm not so sure.
Well, who doesn't like each other?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying hypothetically.
The other thing too, Sal, is, you know, Fried was really good. Yeah. I don't know that I would use the word dominant. What we saw with Crochet, that's dominance. What we saw last night, that's Bingo. Dominance. What we saw from Fried was really good and really impressive guile and tenacity. But every inning, he was laboring. You know, I got into it yesterday. Like, for three consecutive innings, it was 22, 25, and 24 pitches, which is the neighborhood where most managers get a little uncomfortable, particularly if it's back-to-back-to-back, let alone a standalone inning where there's a lot of issue. And did you think last night that Cora let the young man, even though the Yankees weren't barreling the ball, I thought he left him out there too long.
I did not. I saw your tweet and I disagreed.
Really?
Yeah, just I thought he was dealing. And
a lot of pitches. It's a winner, go home.
I thought he got him out in the right spot. I was not letting him face Judge. So that's to me where, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you let him face Gresham.
I thought Cora in this series managed exactly, now, what do you say? Like, managed exactly the way that I would, with the urgency. Like, I'm not letting a righty face Ben Rice a second time with guys on and the chance to do damage. He didn't do that in game 2, just kept going to the lefties in those key spots. Last night, I thought I actually thought he pitched it. He deserved far better than the result of that game. And the numbers will say, well, he wasn't very good. But if you watch him pitch, he pitched his balls off for a rookie in Yankee Stadium in that spot against that lineup where the defense didn't help him. I mean, if the center fielder, who, by the way, the center fielder can't hit a lick. He cannot hit a lick, Rafael. Like, terrific.
0 for 10.
Oh, he can't hit a lick. He can't get a bunt down. If you, like, the one thing you got to do if you're going to do that is make the play. Like, catch a pop-up in center field. Again, these are balls, like we say in jest, like, oh, I could have caught that ball. I legitimately and literally believe I could have caught that ball. Now, maybe not me at 46 with some issues or whatever, but, like, definitely
some
me.
Issues.
And when I put it this way, when I was his age, I guarantee you I would have caught that ball. And Duran the night before as well. Like, those are not difficult plays to make in the big leagues. And if you're Rafaela and that's your one thing, you got to make that play. Anyway, he doesn't, and it sets up the inning in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave, like, the base hit to Rosario. It's a base hit, but it's off the glove of the shortstop. Like, that's a little bleeder. The one to right field
was a six hopper by Volpe. I mean. So, that's got to be at least knocked out, kept in the infield.
I disagreed with your tweet there. I would have done exactly what Corey
and did. By the way, I didn't think the Yankees were squaring him up. I'm just thinking, like, you, I think he had like 35 or I'd have to double check 30. It was a lot of pitches in the end. If it was not the finale or potential finale for Boston, I don't know that I would have thought that, but we saw it differently. And here's the thing too, this is about being alert and being locked in, right? So yeah, he's got to make that play in center field. That was ridiculous. I almost thought that
somebody's got to catch the ball.
And that's got to be center fielder's ball. And he is an elite defender. He just didn't have a good series at all. I think maybe he thought that he was going to have contact with the right fielder or whatever.
Yeah,
that's their problem, not
ours,
because you could see him shy away.
True.
That was a 7% hit probability. 7%! So, you can look at it from the number, and okay, 7% shouldn't be a hit. But also, Bellinger, when that ball's hit, he's knowing in his mind, that's not a hit, but he still busted his ass. And the other thing, too, and I've got to give the young man early credit. Now, I don't want to discredit Schlittler, because that would be idiotic. Schlittler, to me, last night, was throwing. And Early was pitching. Yeah. Now, because it was like 70%,
well,
four-seamers, cutters, hard. Yeah. Well, he still throws 95. Now, he dialed it up later a little bit more than I thought he was going to.
And
early.
By the way, you're right. Like, I never watched Early pitch before.
That's the first time I've ever seen a pitch.
All the stuff we're hearing about him was like soft tossing.
92. Like, this would be Jimmy Key.
He's going to be out of there early.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Frank Tanata.
Frank Viola. This kid's impressive here.
Dude, he's going to be. And even Boone said after the game, he's going to be a problem for a long time. Because you talk about Schlittler's poison heart rate. This kid looked completely unfazed. in a foreign building, he's going to be good.
Pitching his rear end off to that daunting Yankee lineup. But obviously, Schlittler had the power. And if you got that type of arsenal,
just
you
keep throwing it, man.
And that's exactly what he did. Alex is in Greenwich, Connecticut. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Al.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be at the game last night. The atmosphere was electric. I mean, every time Cam came back out on the mound, I feel like the cheers were louder. I was driving home after the game, just, and it's too early to compare this team to 09, obviously, but I couldn't remember the last time they had a dominant, like, power pitcher in the middle of the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking about, like, 09, obviously, was Sabathia, Pettit, Burnett, two lefties, and then a really good dominant righty. Which the Yankees haven't had in a while. So I think, like, that's stuff to get excited about. I know a lot of people are talking about all the historical stuff, and that's great. But, like, we got to live in the moment and understand, like, how exciting this rotation could be to carrying forward throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, I see it a little differently from some. I think it's okay to have that history. As a matter of fact, you know I love the history and the numbers and all that stuff. So to me, the balance historically and the context of what Schlittler did last night, it's fine today. What you can't do is necessarily think that it's going to absolutely be there the next time he pitches. But the juggle of appreciating the effort and you know, referencing some of these all-time numbers, yeah. I mean, that baseball is rooted in numbers and history. So the kid carved out some history. Keep going.
I also do think, though, like I said earlier, there is some context that should be provided and circumstance. You know, all the pitchers in postseason history, especially for the first, you know, 100-plus years of the game,
yeah,
we're going through the two best teams. We're taking each other on or whatever. The four best teams or however you want to say it. Now we've expanded the postseason so much that you are going to see teams that don't necessarily belong in the postseason. So a team like the Dodgers can get fat off of a team like the Reds who shouldn't be in there. And that will pad their postseason numbers. And you can say, well, in there, this hasn't happened before in a postseason series. The domination level. Yeah, okay, but has a team like the Reds, the crappy Reds, been in the postseason before? A team like the Red Sox lineup, I'm not trying to minimize the Red Sox or certainly not what Cam Schlittler did because it was dominant regardless,
mm-hmm,
but I do believe that there's a difference. But look at the lineups that the 90s Yankees faced versus what Cam Schlittler faced.
Well, think about the old Indians, you know,
that's what I mean.
Manny
the
and
Mariners,
Jim Tome,
oh
and
God,
Alamo.
Dude.
I mean, at that lineup used to terrify
the
me.
The Orioles.
Kenny Lofton.
All those teams. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So
yeah.
I'm not, it doesn't take away.
On steroids, by the way.
Bingo. That's another thing. So it does provide context here. Like, what does that mean? Because he was the first one to do it, that he was better than Pettit or Pedro or Clemens. Like, to me, nothing. It is shocking that it's the first one, but there is circumstance.
Well, listen, even, and we all love Bernie. I mean, he's an old-timer. We love number 51. But even when you see, like, you know, Bernie, the home runs he hit in the postseason and where he ranks.
Yes.
I mean, Bernie was a hell of a Yankee and a terrific player. Was he Mickey Mantle? You know, was he Barry Bonds? I mean, if steroids aside, was he Alex? No. But because he, you know, with the wild card, more games, more at-bats, more chance to do damage statistically. But the one thing I'm going to push back in this regard, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but just a little flip of the coin here. I'm going to give you two names, Koufax and Gibson.
Right. All right,
just two names that jump out. So, yes, because of the expanded formats, weaker teams do make the play. We saw the Diamondbacks get to the World Series with 83-84 wins. It happens, right? But when those guys were pitching and the season of the pitcher was really 1968, McLain as well, they were facing shortstops who were bunting and would hit 210, second baseman who couldn't hit a lick, catchers who couldn't hit a lick, no designated hitter, mm-hmm, which didn't come till 1973, Bloomberg for the Yankees. So I could also say that somebody like Koufax and Gibson, and this is not to diminish their legacy or their greatness, but navigating those lineups, I mean, yeah, you had a Willie Mays and a Mickey and a Harmon Killebrew and a Jimmy Fox, and you had some old-timers for sure, but those lineups, 1 through 9, you were facing the pitcher.
Yeah.
Those lineups were weak.
Yeah, and I'm just saying more in recent history, like, I've watched a lot of great dominant pitchers, but they had to navigate through difficult lineups. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's just a weakened baseball in general or weakened, you know, because the postseason fit. Like, look at the Guardians lineup that they're trotting out there. We made fun of this the other day.
The poor kid in center field.
Yeah, but it's not even just him. Like, look at their lineup. It stinks. And that's not the Yankees' problem, but it's the Guardians' problem, but it's also a baseball thing. The Red Sox lineup wasn't very good last night. Now, that does not take away from 8 scoreless without walking anybody and striking out 12. Clearly, no matter who you face, that is a dominant performance. Josh is calling from Far Rockaway. What's up, Josh? Josh, you there?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Yeah, it's a couple of points. So what BT was just saying, first, the whole generation of players that don't really fear the Yankees, this felt like a pre-2004 game. The Red Sox were just like the jittery younger brother team, like looking for ways to lose. I mean, that's kind of cool. Also, I kind of agree with you. We got to win the games, got to play the games. But, like, this was the big test. Like, yeah, we have to win the next two series. But, like, you know, Boston was the one I was personally most scared of. And number three, did you guys see Dave Portnoy's tweet right after the game last night?
No.
I might have. Okay, I forgot. Which one?
I respect Dave a lot, but there comes a time where you get beat fair and square. There was no controversial call. Just tip your cap. He comes out and calls the Yankees a poverty organization because they were celebrating with champagne as if they won the World Series. I'm like, come on, man. It's 2025. That's what everyone does.
Josh, why don't you tweet at Dave then? And thanks for the call. Why don't you tweet at Dave?
I don't care what anybody tweets.
I mean, but you're calling us. Like, Dave doesn't even work at the Fan. There is zero association, at least to the best of my knowledge. I know we had him on. I follow him. I like some of his stuff. I think it's very entertaining. Yeah. But you can't call us and complain about something Dave Portnoy
said. He's a Red Sox fan. He's pissed. What do you think he's going to tweet?
Yeah, tweet him. I mean, you call him WFAN and complain about something Portnoy tweeted. Good God, that means he's in your head. Even with beating the Red Sox. You just beat him. What are you worried about that? No less what they're celebrating with champagne. I don't even understand that one. All right.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
When Renegade hits, it actually reminds me of Adam Sandler, first of all. It's it's in Billy Madison. So that's what I hear when I hear that. But obviously, it's a big football thing. Steelers are actually one of the few teams that have a bye this week. You believe that, BT? Bye?
It's fast, man. It's already.
Week five bye.
That's a disadvantage for them. Not that I care about them, but that's not what you want. I mean, you just started the season. Ideally, you get it. Like, the Giants have a good bye, but who knows if it's going to really matter a ton in terms of the big picture. But yeah, I mean, week five, that's not good.
Yeah, if the Giants lose this week, it is goodbye for the Giants, and we won't worry about their bye week, just like it was with the Jets. Obviously, Jets, Cowboys. Are you going to that game Sunday or no? You are?
I said, I don't know. No. Most likely
I know you
not.
Were going to go.
I was trying.
And you had to buy the tickets.
It's just a lot. Not even, yeah. I had to buy the tickets. I had to take care of that, which I found something that I could. But, you know, now I found, I didn't know my daughter's got soccer. I didn't know the Yankees were playing at four. There's just a lot of stuff going on, man.
But your wife's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, but she's also coaches the soccer team, and she's also a Yankee fan. So,
okay.
You know.
So it might
and
have
what,
to be.
What I'll say, and the soccer game, I think, is, well, I think she has two. But the first one is a good time because it's early. I think it's like 10:45. So even if we wanted to go, we'd be pulling up at like 12:30, which means you're not getting to the stadium for an hour. You're not going to 1 o'clock game.
No, you have to get there
early. Route 3 at 12:39. You're never going to get there.
Here's another thing I just thought of. You have a little bit of an issue here.
What is that?
Unkillable goes right after the final.
I know. Yeah, I know. I thought about that too. I might just bag it. Screw it.
Who
cares? Now that I'll do it. I do it after every game.
But the game is 1-4. It ends at 4:20. Let's say.
And I have the Yankees on at 4:20.
Smack in the middle of the Yankees.
It's right smack. I got the TV in the office, you know, and I don't like doing things like that. You got to understand when I do the pod. Even when I did, I guess it was the last one. And the Mets were finishing up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually checking scores on my phone during the game. And I'm like, oh, wow, the Mets did this. All right, let me follow it. So I'm able to do the podcast. Unkillable, by the way. Spotify, Apple, whatever. I'm able to do the podcast and check out from whatever else is going on. Record it and then jump back in.
WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Back to the baseball. Freddie is in Manhattan. Hi, Freddie.
Fred.
Hey, guys, enjoying the show.
Thanks.
I don't care if you're the big red machine. If somebody throws 100, doesn't walk a batter, has two versions of a fastball and moves all over the place, it's a brilliant performance. I don't want to hear about the Reds. The Red Sox put as many runs as the Blue Jays. They hit as many home runs. They stole many more bases. They hit it low for the deadline. Don't diminish the 23-year-old kid, packed stadium, do-or-die game. Don't diminish his performance with all the Red Sox. The Red Sox dominated the Yankees during the season. Give the kid full credit.
Yeah, we are giving him credit.
I keep hearing all the Red Sox.
Well, the lineup stinks.
Same amount of runs as Toronto, all right? Sal, if you were on that mound, you'd be crapping your pants.
Well, okay? I'm not a big league pitcher. I don't understand your point.
Yeah, the Red Sox aren't great.
They're not.
They have the same amount of runs as Toronto. You love Toronto. Look at the runs.
No, I don't. Hold on, Freddie, you got Q-tips in your apartment there in Manhattan?
100.
Freddie, you got Q-tips in that apartment in Manhattan? Go get them and clean your ears out for a second. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Freddie. Let's have the conversation for a second. Okay, you don't want to have the conversation.
Freddie, just listen for a sec, Freddie.
Well, he hung up, right?
Oh, did he hang up?
Yeah, but I'm still not sure what his point was. Okay, I couldn't handle the pressure. First of all, I couldn't handle the pressure of Little League, let alone Game 3. I admit that. So that has nothing to do with the conversation. That's number one. Number two, you're talking about the runs scored in the regular season. It's a different team. The Red Sox are banged up. They have no lineup. Their lineup stinks. And I'm also telling you, Freddie, that I don't think the Blue Jays are as good as the Yankees. I don't think any team has as good of a lineup as the Yankees. Certainly not in the American League. So I'm not sure what the issue is, but the Blue Jays lineup is better than the Red Sox lineup.
I don't disagree with that. I got a question for you. So, you know, last night you see Cam hit 101.
Yeah.
Mason Miller the other day, I think he hit 104.5. What are the physical... I've always wondered, and nobody can give you an answer because it's a guess. What are the physical boundaries like as the evolution of spin rate and bodies change and the pursuit of velocity? Are we going to have somebody throwing 110 miles an hour
in 10 years? Don't you think, because a part of me, now I could be just factually incorrect, I have no idea, but a part of me thinks that it's the different radar gun or speed gun, however they're doing it. Like, I'm not buying that guys are throwing 101 miles an hour consistently through 8 innings. It's harder than the other guys, but even the other guys, 98 or 95, I'm not buying that's the same scale as it used to be in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, I do, because you could just look at the swings, and a lot of the swing, especially the ones up in the zone, you just can't get on top of that, and you have a better chance at 95 or 97. Either way, excuse me, I'm very curious.
But that plays to your point, though, BT. If you believe it,
yeah,
then yes, you believe that at some point a human who used to only be able to throw 99 or 98, let's say, that evolved to 100, 101 was like, holy crap, he did it, 101.
Goose wasn't throwing 101.
And now
Doc couldn't throw 101.
Now it's 101, 101, 101, 101.
I know, it's absolutely insane.
105, whatever. Like, So
are like, we hitting 110 in 15, 20 years?
I just don't believe it. Could it be a different baseball? I mean, I don't know the answers. I have a hard time believing that humans have evolved that much in 10 years to where all of a sudden you guys could throw with regularity that much.
Well, think about this. I mean, now part of this is equipment, which is a little, although the seams of the baseball would be, I guess, the equipment in this equation. Think about golfers. I mean, go back to Jack and Arnie. Now, they were hitting, you know, different kind of balls, and their drivers, you know, were obviously very different. But they weren't banging the ball the way these guys are. Even the guys who aren't winning are crushing the ball 325 on a fly. Think about the size of NBA players. Think about the reflexes of hockey goalies. I just think that the pure physical evolution is undeniable. And again, I don't pretend to have the answer. Now, I believe the radars. There's also two radars and one is usually one or two, which I don't know why you'd have two.
I mean, come on. But that's been going on for years. Look at the scoreboard. It says 100. It's really not.
How do you know? I mean, listen.
Well, here's how you would.
If it wasn't 100, these guys would be barreling the ball up more than they do. They're not touching it. And I don't just mean Cam.
Yeah, no, well, other guys.
The ball's moving, too. You got these cutters coming in.
We've seen guys, like Helsley, throwing 100. We've seen guys turning that around like nothing. He's throwing 100 miles an hour. So I do believe guys.
He doesn't move. His ball doesn't move, though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's not just about the velocity that they can't touch.
Sure, but no question.
Even dating back years ago, I mean, Chapman was the first guy.
Yes.
When Aroldis Chapman, I remember this from me going. I was actually dating a girl who was a Reds fan. So we went to Yankee Stadium to see Chapman to see the Reds, but I saw Chapman in person against the Yankees. And it was the first time in my life, and I've been to a million baseball games, that I remember thinking, holy crap, like I've never seen somebody throw that hard ever, whether it's Doc who's seeing games, whoever it could be, Clemens, whoever it may be. Chapman was the one guy. Now, he was hitting, what, 102?
I think he hit 103 and 104. Okay, I think he had more than 102 at one point.
So I wasn't even believing the radar then, even as hard as it is. But think about that. That's 10, 15 years ago for Chapman when he first burst into the league.
Now, you could also say the byproduct of this is you've got, you know, 50% more young players on the operating table getting Tommy John ligament transplants. So, but it's also the pursuit of everything is being chased at a ridiculous rate, whether it's young golfers on the driving range, you know, trying to hammer out those. And I mean young, like good golfers, not hacks, like kids who want to be pros who are actually getting coached on a daily basis. Every refinement, every little angle, every little leverage point is now documentable, if you will.
Right.
So, I believe if Dwight Gooden was coming up now, I think Dwight Gooden's throwing 101 because there would be the spin rate, the revolutions. Oh, hey, if you put your arm here or you manipulate physics with the seam this way, you're going to get the extra two or three. I fully believe that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Either way, it was dominant last night. Alan is calling from Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Alan?
Gentlemen, good morning. Go Jets and go Falcons. I just want to start that. But as a meteorologist, let me just say something to back up or support Sal. Our instrumentation, you could have one instrument temperature-wise here and right next to it. All instruments are not the same. There's a plus or minus two. So I got to agree with the fact that not all instruments. I agree with Sal. I mean, I've seen it. You've heard announcers say it, that was no 102. And the bottom line is, like you said, Sal, and you agree, BT, I played baseball through college like you did, BT.
Okay.
You were a great athlete.
Oh, yeah, real great. Amazing. Good.
But the bottom line is it moving? Does it have a tail? Because, like Sal said, if it's straight like an arrow, it doesn't matter. They'll take one, foul off one, and then they'll hit one like 5 miles.
All right, but hold on, Al, hold on. I get where you're coming from, but you're now splitting it and you're going into two different directions.
Right.
I'm not doubting that a fastball that's 100, that's straight as a string, is going to get ripped if you know what's coming. I'm not down. I'm not pushing back on. That's a fact. But if
I know.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, DT, that there is a difference. You're watching an ESPN game
with the instruments.
An ABC. Yeah, the instruments. Not all are well.
Well, so should we not believe anything? I mean,
No.
If I'm going 80 in my car, am I not going 80? I mean, you got to rely on fit. You know, against. I think that they're pretty accurate.
But cops, you know that some cops have radar jammers. I mean, we jam everything. But that's not what I want to say.
Okay.
I'm a Yankee fan, but last night, let's look at what Stan did, looking at the dugout, standing there like he hit a 500-foot homer.
It was weird.
And it wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't.
It hit the base of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, okay, that's number one.
Got caught up in the wind.
Caught up. Yeah, exactly. Now, it was calm winds last night.
It was actually pretty swirly winds.
Now, So that's number one. Rice. Everybody questioned, oh, why did Boone bench Rice and everything?
Yeah, but he looked bad against the lefty.
Okay.
I know.
He looked horrible last night. He was missing by feet. And what did he do at first base? Nobody says this. He dropped
We did say it. No, we get it, Alan.
No, not you. Okay. Not you. Okay. But I'm just saying why Boone benched, not benched. He just sat down against Crochet.
Understood. But, Alan, and thank you for the call. Good stuff right there. But I would say that regardless of the result, I'm going down with my best offensive players. That's just me. Boone could have his different opinion. BT could have his. You could have yours, Alan. A listener could have their opinion. I would rather see that with Ben Rice. Now, he did look overmatched by Early, and Early was nasty. Pitching. He was pitching well. Maybe it would have been different with Crochet. Who knows? Because he's throwing harder stuff. You have no idea. Maybe it would have been worse because he's nastier. Although, I don't know how it could have been worse. And he dropped a pop-up, but you got to make that. I wouldn't want Ben Rice in the field. But that the way the Yankees are built, he's got to be in there. I'm putting his bat in the lineup regardless of who's on the mound.
So am I. I also think that, you know, part of the reasoning behind him playing last night, not against Crochet, is while I think everybody knew Early had good stuff coming in. I remember saying yesterday he was one of their top prospects. I didn't think he pitched that well. But the assumption from the Yankees' perspective was he's not going 7 or 8. And at some point, fairly early-ish in the game, you're going to have a bullpen move, and it's a good probability at that stage it's going to be a righty. So it's easier to justify, all right, maybe one at-bat against Early, maybe two before you get to Chapman, you'd see a righty there. So that makes a little bit more sense. But hey, listen, you know, the decisions will not be as hard next series because it's just a different pitching staff from Toronto, and that's going to favor the Yanks, and the Yanks got to start hitting a little bit more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The October absent Mets are making some changes to their coaching staff here. So about 20 minutes ago, Andy Martino said that the Mets are not bringing back third base and infield coach Mike Sarbaugh. Yeah, I know, Hoff. Did you say that on the air or off the air? You could say it on the air.
I said it off the air, but I said, thank God.
Yeah, now, not to get, because, like, obviously, BT, when people lose their jobs, it's not pleasant. So I'm not rooting for that to be the case. But I hated the way Mike Sarbaugh handled sending runners, not sending runners. I hated the way he coached third base. Now, he's a very popular coach with the team. He helped Brett Beatty. Andy says this in his tweet. So I'm sure Sarbaugh did a nice job in that regard. They were going to make changes with the coaching staff. He had to be one of the ones to go. So that's number one. And then I don't know if you saw this one, BT. Martino also saying John Gibbons, he told the team he's leaving. He's not retiring. Mm-hmm. He likes Mendoza. I'm reading this verbatim from Martino's Twitter here. He likes Mendoza and told them he thinks it's time for some new blood in that job.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, something had to happen here. You know, whether it's third base coach, and that's, you're right. I mean, you never want to, you know, you have to talk about it because it's what we do and it's what we cover. We don't wish it on anybody. It sucks. I mean, there's going to be a family that's uprooted, and you feel for them.
And it's not like they're making millions of dollars either. Like, true. I'm sure they're doing well.
True.
But
our manager's a little different. Yeah. You know, Tom Thibodeau gets fired. Tom Thibodeau's, you know, millions upon millions in the
exactly.
bank. I'm with you. That does matter. Not that money solves all the issues. We get
no,
it.
But
kids
but
in school. But it's still.
It's easy to say,
it
like,
makes
oh,
it easier.
Get rid of Cedric Mullins or cut him or whatever because they're making this much money. Or fire a manager. He's got millions in the bank. Like,
yeah.
These guys, I don't know how much they make. And like I said, I'm sure they're okay.
Yeah, but, probably a couple of hundred thousand.
It's not, like,
guess,
it's not like they could sit back. Like, I think
they got to keep working. Yeah, put it that way.
Exactly. It's not like they could. Like Tibbs, the Knicks did him a favor. He could sit back and go do whatever the hell he wants.
He was at St. John's the other day with Patino, and he went up to UConn.
You see Patino with the Yankee
game last
night. I saw
him. Yeah, right behind a dugout. Yeah. That's a spot. So listen, it stinks that happened. Gibbons seems to be a little bit different. That like that's more interesting to me because by him saying they need some new blood, I don't want to say that it's feeding into the thought that there may have been some issues in the clubhouse, but it says something, but you had like something had to change. You can't have that season and fall that short and fall apart that hard and just bring everybody back and roll it back. It's unacceptable.
And now what I would want, and I know Mendy's going to be a lame duck manager going into this year.
Yep.
One great, one awful, and now show me something.
Yeah.
But I still, me personally, I know the Mets probably aren't going to do this because I know a lot of teams don't do this.
I know what you're going to say.
I would let the manager pick his coaches.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to say. I thought you were going to say extend them as a sign of.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, good. All right, there you go.
No, I would not do that. I would let the manager, anytime I'm hiring a manager. Now, again, this is a tricky spot because if the Mets don't get out of the gate well next year, Mendy's going to be out.
Like, it's going to be the story.
That's not me saying that should happen. I'm saying that will happen if he gets out of the gate slow or the Mets get out of the gate slow. But if I'm trying to surround a coach, a manager, with making him comfortable, I want him to hire his guy. So if Mendy does, let's say, want Willie Randolph to be his bench coach, go hire Willie Randolph. I don't care what David Stearns does. David Stearns wants Mendy to be the manager. Okay, hire Mendy to be the manager and then let him pick his staff. I think we're getting too, like, it's been going this way for far too long with baseball and the analytics, but even GMs being too hands-on is who they want to be the pitching coach, the hitting coach. And by the way, there should be more to come. It's not just Gibbons, and it's not just Sarbaugh. It should be many more as
well. You think it's going to be, or it should be?
I do believe it's I believe it's going to be, and I believe it should be.
Yeah. I mean, I would the first base coach, but I always forget it. He was phenomenal.
Richardson.
Yes, Richardson. You know, Hefner's a little bit of a different discussion. He's had a good track record.
He's been here forever, though,
He has been here. No, I know. He's been here for a long time.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And great potential. Maybe some other staff would snatch him up in a second.
Yeah.
Dude, the pitchers couldn't get a freaking out. They couldn't get an out. Any one of them. You name them. Couldn't get an out. Couldn't get through the, like, who's to blame for that? Is it all the pitchers, or is it maybe they're not doing enough? Like, I don't know the inner workings, and I trust that Hefner is good at his job and has done a great thing. But at some point, like, the results are what they are. God.
I get it. But I also think, like, when you're that bad as a staff, you just don't have many good pitchers. And I don't mean the young kids. I'm talking about the other guys. So, you know, how do I split up the blame? And I don't know. Again, if they got rid of him, I wouldn't push back with any sort of oomph here. But the thing that is important, like, when you say let him pick his own staff, well, Mendy's no dummy. So he's not going to pick a guy as his bench coach that could succeed him if he gets whacked 50 games in. He'd probably want to get somebody that's a little less threatening, which would not ultimately be good for the Mets.
I'm not sure if that's the case because there's already the guy looming in the organization. I think Evan talked about this too with Carlos Beltran, who, to me, if there is a change that needs to be made in season next year, that's the first guy that immediately steps in. I don't know what his role is going to be. I think Evan was talking about having Beltran be on the bench or whatever, mm-hmm. and then he'd be right there to succeed Mendy. I wouldn't do that. I'm not trying to... Like, the idea wouldn't be from Steve Cohen or Stearns to put Mendy in a spot where it's going to be, hey, let's put even more pressure on him to try to nudge him out, and just in case, like, the signs are there and he is gone, then we could go with Beltran. I wouldn't be doing that. I still trust that Carlos Mendoza, and this is me saying this, and I believe Stearns feels the same way. He basically said it. I still trust Carlos Mendoza is the right guy for this job and will be a very, very good, if not great, manager. They've got to surround him with the right pieces. Why not just let him... If he goes to you and you're his boss and he says, I want Willie Randolph as my bench. I don't know if he's going to say this. I'm just mm-hmm. throwing a name.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say what?
I don't know how Cohen really feels about him. Cohen might be really down on him.
But
I don't know
you,
the answer to that.
On Willie, you're talking about?
No, on Mendoza. Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't give him the juice to make that decision.
I know, but my point is if you're Mendy and you're coming to me and I'm your boss and I employed, I'd say, you know what? If you feel more comfortable working with him.
I get that part of it, too. Yeah. Like, I want you to feel good.
Your
that you're in the best position.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But they might also, again, I don't think Mendoza had a good year at all.
Right.
We've talked, like, at all. To the point where if he was fired, which he's not, I wouldn't have thought that it was unfair. I would not fire him myself, to be clear. I do think he's earned a third year because year one was good. But year two was so alarmingly bad for me. There should have been a guarantee. He's back. That's fine. I hope he does well. But I'm not bending over backwards and saying, oh, yeah, you can do this and you can do this and you can do this, because I don't think he's earned that. But that's just me.
BT and Sal on the fan. Mark is in Woodbridge. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Nice to be on the air. Never call, but Sal, love the passion. BT, I love the balance. It's excellent. Not to beat a dead horse, but Boone, I was very happy. I'm a huge Mets fan. I just love baseball, so I was just watching the game and not rooting against the Yankees, but not really rooting for them. But
mm-hmm.
was impressed with that kid. I tell you, the ball comes so nice out of his hand, and it hops. And I don't know where this kid came from. And I'm looking, I'm saying, he's got 92 pitches. Here we go with the same old BS. Oh, he can't throw 102 pitches because he's going to hurt his arm.
Yeah, Mark, so I like it. I like it.
Little jerky boys here.
I'm looking. Guys, really, it's refreshing to see a guy say, you know what, this kid's mowing him down.
Yep.
If I take him out and then we lose this game, honestly, boom, you're fired. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. I'm so sick of it, like, as you guys were saying, analytics. Ooh, lefty righty. whatever happened? Seriously, guys, whatever happened? You're the manager. Be at some ball.
There we go, Mark. I love it.
Dude, can you
entertaining right
thank
there,
you,
Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine if Boone would have pulled him? And at that point, you're not going to Williams up for. You obviously not going to Bednar. You may have gone to Cruz, but you're probably going to Weaver up four. Can you imagine walk, bloop, double? He's out. Yanks up 4-1 or 4-2.
No, it would have been 2-1.
Here comes Cruz. Who knows if he's even got anything good for the third straight day? Could you imagine?
No, it was one of my favorite moments.
He may have been fired at that point.
Yes, of course. It was one of my favorite moments of the entire baseball season, seeing Schlittler walk off the mound to the energy of the crowd, knowing
good.
He's just blown away Red Sox after Red Sox.
Team he grew up rooting for.
Oh, God. Gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And then him, Boone, looking at him like you're going back out like,
that's
oh,
right. That's
dude.
Right. Short conversation.
Yes!
Yeah, man.
That's what baseball should be.
It's what we've been screaming about for a long time. Now, this doesn't mean that there's going to be this massive recalibration with how baseball handles young pitchers, but it goes to show you, at least when there's a massive sense of urgency, common sense could still win out.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get to plenty of football before we say goodbye here. We got 2 hours to play with. We'll reset down with the King topic of the day. Of course, it is the Yankees moving on to the ALDS Game 1 in Toronto tomorrow afternoon.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.